As always with this podcast, there is a high likelihood that there will be swearing, adult stories, and probably chat about naked pubs. If you can't get on board with this, here is your stop. Get off now. Well, a massive welcome back to the Beyond Canal Park podcast to you all. It's my second regular show, if you will, of season six, coming hot on the heels of back-to-back Hampden Park spin-off specials, and of course, the season opener with Scott Barber. Good to see Fig make his 300th Baroque appearance the other night, and he's still banging in the goals, which is good to see. Thanks as well to everyone who has taken the time to message me or the page with their comments, guest suggestions, and indeed their suggestions, contact details, and feedback on the podcast. I love receiving them all, and I do endeavour to reply to everyone eventually. I really enjoy being back in the mic and in the studio with guests again. This week, though, because of logistics, we've recorded over Skype. So although the audio quality will not be quite as sharp as last week when it's in the studio, the content is still cracking, if I do say so myself. Right, on to this week's guest, and it's another fantastic one. As a predatory finisher and prolific winner, Jamie Watt joins me to chat about his 25 years plus in the game as a player with Devon Vale, Inverurie Locos and Cove Rangers, as well as his management and late playing career with Banksia D. Jamie lets us in on his ambitions for Banksia D's first season in the Highland League, and of course, he names the best 11 that he played with. An hour or so the other night that simply flew in. And here's what he had to say. Joining me in the hot seat this week is a serial goal scorer and winner. With four Highland League titles to his name and numerous other honours, he was always in the right place at the right time and notched the goals. After representing Devon Vale, Inverurie Locos and Cove Rangers as a player in the Highland League, he is now charged with the task of replicating his Banksia D success at junior level on the Highland League stage as co-manager of the Spain Park club. Here to tell us all about his career in the game is Jamie Watt. How are we doing this evening?
Yeah, good thanks. Can't complain with obviously the game last night against the Vale, so a good win, and it was a hard-earned 3 points. They did well, actually. I was really impressed with them.
A lot of young really boys, good. But they're coming on a bit.
They are, because I did fear for a bit at the start of the season, because I've seen how many young boys they were signing, but honestly, I looked at them last night, especially going forward. I know we had a clean sheet, but some of our attack and play was really good, so yeah. I was impressed.
Brilliant. Well, we'll come on to the current Highland League days, but I always like my guests to take my back, as far as I can remember, to where the love of football began for them and how and when it started.
Oh, for me, it's right back to years and years before you find me with a ball in my hands. I was a big Aberdeen fan back in the day, Fergie and Strachan, they were all my heroes. So, I just grew up with my family big in football. So, never ever went away at love. And I've just been fortunate right through even at school. I landed lucky playing with my best mates were Dennis Wynas and Garvin Ray. So, we were on this. We ended up being really successful for an early age. I've been, like I say, got lucky in that sense, and then went on to the academy and boys like with Mikey Craig, Tommy Wilson and Craig Ogson, they were all at Celtic, so with their academy team as well. So no, right back to those early days. Football was a big part of my life. Okay. And Ashburn days were brilliant. When we were just 9, 10, 11 year old, primary six and that. We went down, we represented Scotland, Aberdeenshire, went down and went playing at Ibrox at half time and we won at 7-a-side thing. So, those were good memories.
Quality days. Aye, magic. What were the heroes you liked watching and far did you grow up supporting?
Well, I was a big Aberdeen man, but then I've got some Rangers in my family, so they try to turn me. Ali McGoyce was a big hero when I was watching, but he was my idol. I just thought he was brilliant, Goisty. Loved him as a player, still do, still love listening to him in the old talk sport.
Oh, it's brilliant, he's new. Now that I actually watch Scotland games on the telly much, because we're usually there, but when we do, he's much better than flipping the boy Proven, that's for sure. Every time Scotland scores, a big yes.
Exactly. He's so Scottish and doesn't hide his colours. Same with the Rangers when you hear him. He's funny. He's a great lad. So he was a big idol growing up.
Brilliant. What were the biggest influences on you personally in your football career growing up?
I'd say probably my cousins. They were especially my older cousin Paul. Paul Yates. He was a good player back in the day. I was unfortunately lost my mum when I was young, so they were a big influence around me. Dougie, he's involved with East End, and he's been a big football man all these days. So I was close to them growing up. And they ended up getting in at Aberdeen, doing pretty well at a younger age. So no, I hung around them and Dilly Drone parts. There was a few rough boys and good players growing up then. We used to play football against them. We were obviously younger, me and his little brother, and we got kicked to pull out of post. But it made you didn't realise back then how much it makes you. It just shows you that we were never in, every day out playing, and it just, without even realising, like that tenacity, you get stronger playing against these boys, even though they kick lumps at you and smash you. You'd play them crying sometimes, but it really does help you.
Set you up for Ireland League back then, that's for sure.
Really does, and without even realising it, you get a great education on the street. I think those days are sort of gone now. No. I think every place we play has got a no ball game sign on it nowadays. But no, I was a big part for me. My cousins and my uncles, they were big, they're massive Aberdeen fans, so just always football, and so it was just always in the family everywhere you went. Just even now, if we go to a family party, it's just 3 hours or 4 hours speaking about football, fantasy football, you name it. Football chat, women hate it.
Well, yeah, I was a striker. I was in a boot of goals.
No, yeah. Unbelievable. That took a long time to materialise. When I first started, I played sort of winger when I was Glashyburn, and then under. And then probably half of people wouldn't even remember I was a sweeper for a while. That position doesn't even exist. And I think from about 15 to 18, I played sweeper. I don't know how that came to be, but I ended up being there, and I loved it. I loved playing it back and just sort of reading the game, but I think it was destined to be. I wasn't the biggest, so it was
maybe get back into that new. That's what Hoddle and Hewlett did, wasn't it?
I know, it's mental. And it ended up being, I went to Lads Club Juniors at past under 18, and Neil Morrison, he was a striker. He came, it was his old man, and Neil and his brother Bruce, they came in, and Neil was the one that he spotted something in me early and was like, you should be a striker. And I was like, I've never played up front. I scored goals back when I was younger, when the wing, but I was never, was in that position I even thought of. And he peeped on me and threw me in. I think the first game I got a hat trick, and I then realised, looking at my butt to go up, it was definitely, I just found the game so much easier, and it was my position. Nobody'd ever played me there, so I never realised.
And then he got the move to Divan Vale as an 18-year-old Fae Lads Club, wasn't it? I think 1997, you tell me.
Morgan Murray, he took, and Greg was, I think, the assistant then, Greg Carroll, and they put Yogi out on loan to Ladsar, so that was Yogi's old price to claim. He was the making of it, but Yogi came to Lads Club, and me and him just had an unbelievable connection. At juniors, and very quickly, Greg had the two of us up to play 21s, and my first 21. Game was against the Brock, and Russell McBride's marked, and I had no idea who he was, scored two worldies in that game, and Moggy, but he's like, yes. it came really quick. I was just looking forward to playing junior. Then before I knew it, they agreed a fee, and I was in it at Vale pre-season, and then I was when with Rangers played. Rangers came to town, and they had a pretty strong team, and he named it a team, and I was starting. I was shiting myself. I'd never been so nervous when he's. I couldn't believe. I thought we would be lucky going to pitch and named the team. I was starting. I was like, oh Jesus! So wasn't my greatest game, but it was just unbelievable to be part of it.
Great experience. That
was me. Yeah, it was me in, and obviously a few years. It was brilliant at Vale then.
Must have been a very different club, the one you joined, to what it became over the next few years then. Far remain men about the squad when you first joined up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, up front it was Graham Codger and Ian Woolley, Charlie Rowley. They were three that were sort of competing at that point, and I didn't even think I'd get close to them. And you had obviously Malky back with Nigel and Dave Peterson and Debbie. So they were all obviously part of it then. I came in, and my first day training, Chiz rocked up the very first day, same as me, and he comes with this big board shorts on. I was like, what's this? I was like, just chug your hair and I was like, all right, who's on, Mark? I'm Jamie. I was like, so that was me and Chiz, I think, the first day together. We had a good connection right for the off, and I was obviously Yogi coming in at that point, so there was a few good young players. And my cousin Tony, he was around the team at that point as well, Tony Yates and Singer. So with James Milne, that was another one. So I had a lot of good young players coming in. Greg had obviously been around the Aberdeen leagues and the under-18 sort of league. He knew that well. So he was doing well at that point with a lot of the younger players and took them in. And I just happened, I was in the bar, I'd never worked with Greg before then, but he just, it was just with that Yogi coming on loan, that ended up materialising me going up with him, and then that was it. From there, I just started, and as you say, I think if Vale were struggling, I think maybe, I wouldn't even say bottom half of the league at best, they were really struggling when we came in, but it just coincided with, I think, a bit of money coming into the club. Greg obviously got a job quite quick after Malky, and then from there they just never looked back.
Aye, Greg, the right man at the right time for the Vale then. Yeah, you worked well with him.
Yeah, he was obviously young. I think I think he would have been like 29 at that point. If I remember, he was definitely in his 20s, I'm sure, when he got a job, or maybe early 30s. But I mean, I was just young, so I wasn't used to. Greg was different, a bit regimental, but yeah, one thing he knew was how to set up a team and bring in players. He was just really clever at would work with each other. I thought it was his best skill set. He just got boys in that always clicked and got on and wanted to, if I had to go out and fight for him and really give their all, never leave anything in the dressing room. Everyone went out every game, and it was some team that he ended up building. Boys like, there were so many good players come in of early doors. It was Mike McKenzie and Moby ended up coming in. I think that was maybe 2 or 3 years down the line. I can't remember who else at the beginning, but obviously he took in big Dukes, and then I ended up leaving, so it was a bit of a change, and then I came back. But no, there was a lot of big players came in. Rob Brown, Rusty, that was two others that ended up coming in. So training was like always a bit of fun, getting smashed for that lot.
I've heard the cages and doing it goals was interesting.
Oh, well, I was there the night when Rusty, I think, took, it was, I think, with a big Scottish Cup game coming up, and Greg's like, right, you lot, Nate, I watch your tacklers, blah, 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 and then Rusty's went in, took it off Rob. Rob's raging because he didn't get his shot off, and he's chased Rusty back, and he's honestly jumped for about 5 feet back, two feet of him right down the back, and Rusty, I think he was out for about 6 weeks, missed a game, and it was the worst tackle ever. And then just like standing out, nobody really knew what to do. Rusty, he's not exactly a small boy, but he was down crumpled, and we're just like looking at Hopkins. He's like, I got him, mate. It's like, you gotta kill me. You killed him. Broken in half. It was a disgrace, a tackle. So they've never let Rusty's never let that one go, but that was training. But then and Kenny, he was a nightmare. Some boys just they played just exactly how they trained, like they played and trained. But it was so good. It was so high intensity. Used to love it. But I remember once Rusty as well. He got me in a cage in a corner, and I turned around and I volleyed him. And I'm still good mates with Rusty to this day. I see a lot of him. But yeah, I thought he was just a way to smash me. He stood over the top and he was two fists. I was like, oh no, I deserved it, because I was in the corner and he was chipping away, and I've just turned around and volleyed him. As soon as I'd done it, I was like, oh, shouldn't have done that. But to be fair, he gritted his teeth and he walked away. He's like, all right, next time you. I was like, I'll do that one. But I was some characters in. So good team.
Just born winners, but a few of your former teammates described you a ridiculous goal scorer, somebody that always knew where to be at the right time and hardly ever missed. How much of that's natural, and how much of that did you have to work on week in week?
No, it was very natural. I was never the best trainer when I was younger. That was one thing. I always thought I was never as good at training, but in games, I got a different mindset. But I did all right at training, but I never really enjoyed it when I was younger. Once I got later in life, I loved training. I loved keeping fit, and it was something that became really important to me. But back in those days, I couldn't be bothered with running, and Greg would tell you he was constantly, I was moaning and loved a little chirp back at him. A pain back in that days, Greg, especially a few words to say about me in that sense.
You were hard working.
Oh, that's right. On the pitch, it just came naturally. Just like I say, once I found out it was my position, I just used to, I don't know, you come alive in a box, you just read things. It's just born in you. You just see things that are happening. Amount of times I turned a shot into a goal, like people would be like, "You're so lucky," but you'd see somebody shooting, think they're going to miss it here, and you just go into that position. You just flat your feet and you'd tap it in, and they're like, "You're right." You just, I don't know. It's just something that's in you, and you just read the situation. This goalie might fumble it here, and you're just at the back post waiting. And they'll tell you a lot of my goals were less than 6 yards, but you just find a knack of being in the right place. And I don't know, I love scoring goals as well. It's the best feeling, one of the best feelings you can have, and I just loved it. So, and thankfully for Avila, I scored plenty. It was good times.
Well, hey, it worked for Ruud van Nistelrooy, and his goals were inside the box.
I think for Avila, my career, I wouldn't be over 10 feet outside the box. I would say I'm probably at 5. I've barely ever scored outside the box, so it's now somewhere you'll find me. Unless a goalie's getting miles out of his box, I managed to slide it by him one-on-one, that's about it. But I'm not very well known for Mike McKenzie. He used to love to pin boys in and 30 yards smashed in the top corner. That definitely wasn't me.
You do hear a bit of a curious honour in the game, though. Is it right that you scored the very first golden goal in Scottish senior football against Nairn?
Right, yeah. Stuart McPherson I'll tell you that one. He was at that game. Yeah, it was... that's right, because it came in, I think Euros, was it Euro 96?
Euro 96 was the first
Euro 96. I think that's when it first came in, and then we went up to Nairn, and it came into Scottish football, and it was a semi-final. It was a brilliant foot. I think it's still in my wall somewhere. And Franny Moore made an amazing run. I'd actually scored in the normal game, and it went to 1-1 extra time, and obviously first team to score, that's a game over. So never unheard of. You used to go an extra time, 30 minutes, and I think it only came in for a year or two. They ended up scrapping it. Didn't last long, but that was what a feeling. I think Franny went amazing forever, and he was dragging players. Eventually, the boy just made a tackle, fell to me, and I just chipped it over the goalie and in. And when the top was off, and Chiz was chasing me, his top off. I think
Darcy McAllister sent my picture of you getting a titnip.
That's right, he's got his hand in my boobs. And everyone was on a pitch. That was a brilliant feeling. But again, I went and lost that final. I was good at losing that Highland League Cup final. My time, but it was Sunday up in Nairn.
Magic. You did get your first trophy under the belt when you were with the Vale, though. It was the Shire Cup, I think, was it? Particular highlight, beating the Brock in the final.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was definitely one of the highlights, because I think up until that point, the Vale, I couldn't tell you their history, their honours, but they certainly hadn't won anything for a long time, a very long time. So that one, that was a big one. And I remember went up to, it was at Peterhead, we're playing Fraserburgh. It was at Balmoor. I think they just moved into the stadium, and great day, and we ended up winning 2-1, and I scored the first. Sprung the offside trap, run through, and what a feeling that was. And then I got a pen. I was on the pens, but Kadger ended up, he was pleading with me. I think it was 1-1 at the time, too. It was a pressure pen. And Kadger, I said, okay, mate, he took it and he scored it. So 1-2-1. But that night, they celebrated, went back to Banff, and it was wild. The castle, is it? Right. It was absolutely bouncing. We got lock in, and it was just such a good night, that one. Oh, yeah, gee. And that one to me, I said to my players last year, we played in that with Bunks Adina final last year, and I showed them a picture. I actually said to them, look, this is 20 odd years ago, this game. I goes, and that's one of the best memories I've got in Highland League football, winning that trophy. I'm showing them how big it was to me, because it's just like one of the first ones, and it just sticks with you so important, and it was such a big occasion. It was so good to get a job done, and like I say, the celebrations were brilliant. With some team bought there, I think most of the boys were, I hardly had them had any wives and that. I think Davy Henderson was about the only one that had a missus, so everyone was just full on.
Every away game was danger.
Jesus, you'd go into the nightclubs, you go back to Club Tropicana, and there'd be nine-tail ties kicking about, and they'd be swinging around different birds. Walking about the ties every Monday asking Greg for a new tie.
There was a few Sunday clubs in Aaron about them, was there? I mean, a few of the boys telling about them.
Yeah, Sundays, and then Dippy and Nigel were good at instigating them, and then Monday on the bus, you'd meet at 5 in Northern or 5:30 in Northern. Oh, me, that was brutal, heading up to Banff every Monday, and then back, I think, about 11, so there was a lot of tough Mondays, and then Greg would just, you'd get to the ground, and he would run you up to Myris, right, let's go, Myris. Great, absolutely brilliant for your legs, that. Oh, me. And then train at Myris, and it was about -15 every Monday. So
when I had Greg on, he said he encouraged the night suit in the Sunday clubs, though.
Yeah,
because it was great for the team bonding.
Ah, that's right, and that's one thing. Right through my whole career, every team I've been fortunate enough that most of them, team bonding wise, it's been brilliant. Cove was exactly the same, and it comes and it brings so much success if you can get that side of it right and spot on. And it doesn't mean to say I was on the lash, but back then it was like that. Nowadays, but no, it's such an important part to winning. It just, if you can get everybody in a good laugh and kind of that side, it brings you on a pitch, and everyone wants to do well by each other. So it was important, and Greg recognised that. He never had any qualms with MD going out unless it got too out of control. I think it was one night, actually, I remember Greg, I don't even know if Greg would know this, but we ended up jumping off at Elgin, me, Yogi, I was four of us, I can't remember the fourth one, but it was Franny stayed up there, and then end of the night, I still don't even know why it's happened, but we were getting chased by police. We're running through streets and we got picked up and ended up in the cells. It was a complete weird thing. It was the end of the night steaming. We hadn't done anything wrong, but it was somebody with a Chinese and Franny was through a back garden and tried to knock a door down. And then, of course, they picked us up, and because we were steaming, they threw us in the cells. So we had 3 or 4 hours to sleep off in the cells. Come in at 7:30, and because we'd quite often do that, because Franny was there, we'd go up to Wick and stuff, and then in a way back be like, we'll just jump off at Franny's and get a train home in the morning. I was 15 of us in Franny's, woke up, ordered a McDonald's, got a taxi to drop it off before your delivery days.
Phone a taxi. People carrier for that.
It was, and then we ended up getting a taxi up a train up the road, so that was popular on a Sunday as well.
Quality. Am I right? I can't remember if you tell me, but you scored 6 goals in that game against the Brock, but somebody else got man of the match.
Yeah.
You were raging.
Yeah. I wasn't going to believe it. To be fair, Mike McKenzie probably set up about 3 or 4 of them, but he got man of the match. But I was actually the year Fraserburgh won the league, mm-hmm. and they were, we went there. I actually scored the game before. I scored 4. We played Fort William opening game of the season, and we won 6-0, and I scored 4. So I went up to Brock the following week, and I'm obviously buzzing, and I scored 6. It was just fifth thing I hit. It was just in. It was unbelievable. And then the end of the game, 8-0, we won. And today's Monday. I was actually, normally you're just listening who's going to win the match. I was like, chest out, oh, aye. Mike McKenzie, I was like, heck? Even I was like, come on, surely stole it, Billsley. Surely that's worth a man of the match, but no, never got. I think Mike got a ball. I was like, are you going to even give me it? I was like, Mike. He's like, fuck you. You can take half him up.
Is that the same season you won the qualifying cup as well? That was another high scorer, I guess, Bucky, wasn't it?
That would be. That year, we actually lost the Aberdeenshire Cup in Pens to Cove. We won the qualifying cup against Buckhead, and we lost the League Cup final in the last game of the season, and we lost the league to Fraserburgh in the last game of the season. So we were so close to winning everything. We ended up only winning the qualifying cup. So that team at that point was just really peaking. And I was ultimate low though at the end of that season when we lost Fraser Brathwaite. They ended up going far ahead. We'd make games in hand, but I think we'd three games in hand. We could have went to 7 points clear, but they were catching up. Took its toll. And by the time we got to the Brock, we only needed a point, I think, a point would have done us, and we'd to play Cove. I think it was, no, they had Cove. I can't remember, we'd in the last game. But we went up there that night, and what a supporter was. I think it was about over 3,000 parked in at Billsley, and it was a terrible game. But we were 1-0 up, Rob Brown, and then Moby went up at back post, flicked him back to me. Nice score. There was in the crowd, and they chucked it off. Referee said Moby went over the top of the boy, and then right off time Norris scored 1-1, Turnches and 1-1, and then it's second half is just nervy, and then the boy Weems, I think it was 4 or 5 minutes to go, header corner. So that's the worst I've ever felt. For all my wins and highs I ended up leaving that year. I was going to wait Australia.
Dropped the year out.
There wasn't so much, but it was already happening. But boys like Nigel, he was at the end of his career, and you really wanted to win it for him. He'd be such a big part of it all, and you knew he was coming to the end. And I think he ended up staying the next year.
He was there when they won it the next year.
Yeah, he did, but it was never the same for him, I think, because that year he was the main guy, and
he never played as much the year they won it for him.
I was gutted for him that night, because he deserved that, and that team deserved it. It really did, but it was just one of them. Never got a job done, so I guess Fraser Brown deserved it in the end. But yeah, I was a sore one to take, and then I obviously missed out next year because I went away. So I never
Was that a sore one? Was it you got that you missed that, or was it worth it in hindsight? If it was to come later in your career.
No, that one was sore because I'd been such a big part of it. I think that was my fourth year, going into my fifth year, and you could just tell it was coming. I wanted to be, and then I was traveling Australia, and that was at a point when you just said you had to go to internet shops and on internet checking out. I think Neil Montgomery did it, the write ups in it. Online Dev and Veil page, and I would go on every Sunday in Australia, and I'd be following it, reading the reports. I was dying from it when they said I wasn't a part of it. But, and then I think they end up that 1-0 game that Moby scored, they took a title. And also Moby, I was playing up front with Mike, and he'd went up front, and he said, I think I'd scored 40 something, I can't remember that year, I scored over 40 goals, and Moby's like, I'll beat you. I was like, no chance, because I beat you a day. So he had a £50 bet on me, and obviously he did go and beat me by about three. He ended up, I think I scored about 44, and he ended up pipping the right end. I couldn't believe it.
Kieran Moby probably came out of Australia to collect, didn't he?
I probably did. Even that rubbed it in, I was delighted for him, and I was glad Nigel got the medal on it.
Aye, quality. So you had that year out in Australia, and then you came back and decided to give the sort of leagues a try with Montrose, didn't you? Who brought you there?
Yeah, well, before that, obviously, that year I'd done really well. Dale again, Peterhead, where I was a bit of sniffing about, but then I went away, so I wasn't really sure what was going to happen when I came back. And then John Sheeran, it was my first introduction to John Sheeran when I got back, and he sold the dream. I mean, he's pretty good at selling the dream, that guy. Sell the Eskimos. So he came in, and Montrose, we've got this and that. And I just thought about that it was such a bad decision for me, because I thought, well, I haven't played that level. I thought, I want to give it a crack. But I'd just been a year travelling. I'd done nothing. I'd been on a lash, I'd been round Australia, I'd just spent 7 weeks in Thailand, and then I've just come off a plane, and they're been in pre-season. He's like, so I like said yeah instantly. I was actually in London when he phoned me. I goes, yeah, pre-season next week, okay. And I've never been so unfit ever, so it took me pre-season, and it was the hardest pre-season I've ever seen. It was just run. I actually had an asthma attack, and I think my second session it was that hard on me.
Jeez.
So it was horrific, and it took me so long, and I just never enjoyed it. I should never have went. It was a risk bet. It was just a decision, because, as I say, I hadn't played in a year.
Was it a dream, though, to give that a go, or are you quite content in the Highland League?
Well, you give me like, I wasn't one of these boys that got a chance at Aberdeen because I was small when I was younger. I sort of got overlooked because of my height. That was one thing. Right. And I got the old back in the day when you were small, unless you were messy, like you weren't getting a chance. So it never, it just bossed me by all that. And then, so when you start making it and seeing, oh, I'm doing well here, and then you think, well, maybe could, I wouldn't mind giving it a crack. So, but quickly, I didn't, that professional side of it, I was nobody really, although it was, I had a good bunch of boys for Aberdeen, Greg Smith, Martin Wood, and Scott McKee signed up point. So, God, that was it. We had a good laugh and going down, but on the bus and that, I was not drinking enough, so I've been 4 years in jail again. So that side of it, well, obviously it's more professional, but to me it was like, nah, I'm not enjoying this. So thankfully Greg came back in from in. I was only there till, well, I ended up, I think, didn't even get the end of the season. I just left, just got a fee organised and went back to Vale.
It was only one club you were going to go back to, or you have you sniffing a boot?
No, I'd already spoke to Greg. I think he said that I'm not hopping, I want to come back. So it was just one of them. Just in throws let me go, so it was fine. We bought there. And then I think we seen it that season. I can't remember that season, but obviously the next one, the year after, was the one we ended up winning the title. So I was glad where I went, because I think still like a lot of balls there. I think that's when Kenny Gilbert and I was there, and there was Rob and still there, and Rusty, so Dougal. So there was a lot of boys, good lads still there. So it was like, it was definitely the right move for me, and ended up, like I say, winning that league next year. So it was brilliant.
How does that rank, winning that first league title? That must be right up there.
It's big. Fortunate enough to score a goal to win it as well. We went up to, needed 4 points, went up to Fort William, and we were getting smashed every week. And it, I think that was in the Saturday before, I think we played Cove in a midweek, so it was like 2 games in 4 days. And then on the Saturday, Fort William, we were terrible, it was nervy. And then I got a tap in, Rusty rolled it to us about 3 yards out, and we won that game 1-0. And then, Fort William, you'd expect it bottom, it was so nervy, and I managed to score there. And then we came up the road and we had Cove, and I remember Moby hit it, and I think Ivor Perry saved it, and there I was again, 6 yards out, my favourite place, put it away. And then we were 1-0, and then big Scotty Fraser, he was at Cove at that point, we signed him next season, but he turned around and scored a worldie to make it 1-1. We only need a point, but the last 10 minutes were nervy, but because I remember I got a job done. And then again, I think we ended up in Franklin's that night in town. Then let's go night with the boys. But no, that was brilliant, that first one. It felt like it'd been taking so long to finally get it done, because I probably should have won it 3 years earlier. But it felt really good then, because you never know. There's a lot of people only win one, some do it from obviously.
There's a lot of good players that won anything.
That's right. So you're like, I really did. It was a big moment, and felt a big occasion. And just with our boys as well, a lot of that boys that had been with a long time. So, no, it was special, that one.
Magic. The Vale had quite a lot of Scottish Cup exploits through the that time. I must say, some great memories for the Scottish Cup.
Yeah, the biggest one was the Park Thistle. That one was brilliant. I remember the Valley crew were amazing that day. They came down in hundreds and went down to Park Thistle. And I don't know if you heard that story about the night before. Have you ever heard that
I'm
one?
Not sure, no.
Oh, we went down, right? So this was the first, I think this was the first time we'd made it deep. Because back then, as you all know, you only have 4 teams qualified each year. Mm-hmm. Final, the qualifying, and it was really tough. So it was, we got through, and then I couldn't even tell you who we played in the first couple of rounds, but we managed to get in with the big boys and can Rangers and that. But we ended up pulling Park Thistle, which was it wasn't quite a glamour tie as you were hoping, but it was still a brilliant occasion. We went down there, and I remember that's like I said, that was probably first of the first big ones. And if all the crew came in their numbers, and they were just brilliant. And I think it was about 3,000 at a game, and we started the game so well. But the night before, Greg decides, he takes us down, and he's organised this thing on a bus, come off a bus, and we're in I couldn't even describe it. It was just a dark field with one light in a changing room. And he gets us to do a session, and it was the most bizarre, random. We actually did an hour. We got changed in the darkness in this little changing room, and then it's like one spotlight shining down, and we did like a training session on a Friday night. it was the most stupidest idea. I'll never forget that. But then that was like the first day you'd been away, Friday night staying over, and then a Saturday in Glasgow with a walkabout in the day, then the game, and I just loved that. And unfortunately, when Chiz was under Boy Hardy, he was a big threat, big good in the air, and then he ended up jumping Chiz twice, so he took a bit of stick for that one. But no, I think we got to half time, maybe 0-0, did really well, and then second half got away from us a bit. But no, I was a really good occasion. And then been fortunate enough right through, more so with COVID, a couple of bigger ones later on. I missed the one when Vale got, was it Morton, and did really well.
I missed
a part of that one. But no, there was some really good memories in the Scottish, like I say, with Vale, and then further along the line with Cove as well.
Aye. In 2006, you left the Vale again, and you were away to locals. What prompted that?
Oh, a little bit usual. Me and Greg just think it. Yeah, we tried twice, and I was somewhere between us.
Aye, okay.
we did go on, but sometimes it was just too much for me, and I could just at that point. I wasn't always playing. Be a mic as well, so I wasn't always playing, and it got to the point where I was wanting to play week in, week out, and yeah, so it just ended up John Gardner, he'd come in, he was a locals manager, he'd found out and then asked if they'll be willing to sell him, and they weren't the two bothered but keeping myself, so I was like, right, that's it, I'm going to go. It wasn't something I was really looking for, but then they came in, I thought, well, you know what, and Kenny Cool was their striker, I always thought he was a cracking player, so yeah. Be good cooler. Like I say, I thought he was, him and the boy and Craig Ross, who I know really well now, a few of the boys, singer was there, so I thought, oh, that'll be a good move. So and Tommy Wilson as well, he was a captain at the time, so they're a good team. I thought, yeah, I'll go and sign for them, and then it just never worked out that I had a really good start, actually. I scored a pre-season and got into season, I think it was the fourth game, playing Keith, and boy Nidri came down and snapped my ligaments in my ankle, so I ended up it's the only bad injury, real bad injury I've ever had, and it kept me out for about, I'd say, 12 to 14 weeks. And in that time, Gardner got the sack, and then the Will brothers came in, and they came in, and I was out, and then they took in, I think Ian Stewart came in, Nicky Gordon came in, they took in all these strikers, and by the time they didn't even give me a sniff, they were just like, it was their strikers, they were working with them, and so I just never enjoyed it at all that full season. It was the lowest I've ever been. And I'm quite a confident player, but that year I struggled confidence wise. Just never felt part of it at all, and just didn't enjoy my football. So I was delighted when, I think last game of the season that year, we had obviously won the league the year before with the Vale, and that year Locos went all the way in the last game. They just needed to beat Cove. They'd almost won it the week before. We were playing somebody at home, and I think Keith were at Fraserburgh, and they needed to win or we'd won it, and it was 1-1 in the 93rd minute, so if they didn't win that game, it was all over. And then I think Barry Summer scored in the 94th minute up at Bells Lee to win 2-1, which meant we just needed to win against Cove, who were, that season were really struggling. So we just needed a home win, and we would have won a title. And Keith were at home, so that was the day. They had better goal difference. So we were 2 points ahead. So if we drew and they won, they would win it in goal difference. And then it turned out that's exactly what happened. We drew 1-1 with Jake Strachan scored him, but he's the famous frat goal, and then Keith won their game. And then I remember sitting on the bench, there was like the 87th minute, he put more, and I'm like, we need a goal, and I got on for 3 minutes. I just about summed up my Locos days, so I couldn't believe he wouldn't throw more. I was like, get him on, but nah, it wasn't it to be. So we chucked that one that day, and that title, that's in very Locos, they'll always remember that, because they still haven't they won a title in their history, and it was such a good opportunity for them. But that day I was, John was now in charge of Cove, and he came up to me and was like, you're doing on the bench.
He said, you were sealing the deal.
Yeah, he came up and was like, you can't come and sign for me. And that was the day I sat and watched Paul Coutts playing, and I was like, Jesus, who's that kid? He is incredible. And so when John said that to me, I said, is that kid signed? He's like, yep. I was like, love to play with him, what a player he is. So I was like, yeah, I'll come. And then, so it wasn't a deal was done pretty quick. And then, and that was the start of my Cove. And kind of some clubs suit you, and Cove absolutely suited me to a T. Really did. That tight pitch was ideal, in part. I loved playing there. A lot of people hated it, but it's brilliant as a striker. Didn't have to do too much running, just be in the box. And
I think Martin Johnston said similar thing to me when he was on.
MJ was. He played it well, him by up, but it was him and Coetzee in the middle, and they were brilliant as a two, but in there. And we ended up, John sort of landed our team. He'd went after Colin Watson, who was the brother of Eric, and he was looking for a striker along with me. And somebody said to him, oh, you should look at your brother Eric. He goes, okay, throw it, pick him up as well. So obviously, Eric came to be, they wasn't even looking at him, and then. Came in and I was around like Jizz first day. I was my first day at Cove, and Eric joined the same day. And I was like, Jesus, boy's a bit, he just looked like an aggressive boy. And he was a good lad, really nice guy. And then I think it was the second game we went to Keith, we were the champions, and I remember him throwing boys about, and they were like normally they were used to Stilly and all that, like they were bossing games, and this boy was just like, nah, no respect whatsoever, lunch, and they were, Jesus, and as soon as I seen him out there, I thought, oh, this boy's made for Highland League, obviously made, and he ended up being unbelievable servant for Cove, and not it. Many a trophy, but no, that was the start of something really good. And John, like I say, John just sort of stumbled upon a team that season, and we went and won it. It was unbelievable, but we were brilliant. The team was just clicked. And
that's a great spine of a team that you've just named there. It was also a team on the way up.
That's right. Well, you Tyndall was there. You Tyndall, Eric, and then MJ, and then I ended up Jerry O'Driscoll came in, and it was Robbie Henderson and me up front, and then you got Kevin Webster, Barry Stephen in the wings, and we just. Just a 4-4-2 attack minded, and I think we lost the first two games of the season as well. But by the end of the season, nobody could stop us. It was just
back to back titles, was it?
Yeah, about 2 years. That was back to back under John. Again, that was again the Scottish Cup nights. We'd won. We got to I think it was the fourth round. We did really well, and we got Ross County, Derek Adams. They came in 4-0 half time. Oh, it was one of John's famous roastings. That, but they were full time. But they came. Say Bardis, but second half we were brilliant. We got back to 4-2, and we gave a right good account of the second half. We could have ended up getting right back in that game. John was good, just like Greg. They were good at the hairdryer treatment if it wasn't going wrong, letting you know. I was just going to say, and John, he was a brilliant like man management. He's brilliant with that.
Great football guy. I've heard for a few folk.
I personally know him really well now as well, but he just lives and breathes it. It was, to be fair, I wasn't actually surprised when I found he had a heart attack there. You know, just like, no wonder, John, the way he puts the pressure on himself and
intense at a time.
I was glad to hear he stepped away from it, because he's got the scare and obviously made him reevaluate. But that's what can happen. These boys get so consumed by it. He was brilliant for me. Did a lot for me, and right through my career, he's always been there. So good lad.
You talked about the Vale team spirit off the pitch. Was it the same as Cove? I mean, you know, a couple of jokers in the park there, like Barry Stephen.
Yeah, joker, Barry.
Yeah, well, a cannon maybe. I heard he liked a drink on the bus.
Barry, I have a story to tell. He was trying to get me to Rangers game not long ago. I'm still, unfortunately, because I'm a plumber, I'm still, these boys always phone me for homers.
Well, I did hear you install a crack in the bathroom. Like.
Aye, that would be for Dazzy, aye. I get plenty of the work for the boys, so I complain, although Baz is a pain. He's got a bloody one of that houses on that Airbnb, and there's always some. He phones me all the time, he's like, Baz, piss off. So, no, he's a good lad, but every team you ever play for, I was always a joker. I'd say in that team, probably Webby, he was a mouthiest, he loved it. And there's still a few
of
the boys.
Jerry told me about a couple of naked pubs back in the day.
Jerry, the naked pubs has been right through my life. I remember very first year at Vale when I was just a 18-year-old, and Davy Sowden and Huggy, they was coming back in a bus, I sit in and started stripping down. I've never, and like, naked bus, and then stopped and asking for directions. I'm like, oh my, that was the first time I was introduced to that. And so right through the days, there's been plenty of those jokers kicking about, but you get some good characters in football, that's for sure.
Holy. But you had enough of Scotland for a while and took off to Australia for 6 years, halfway through your kind of cove spells. Was that for work? I just fancy a change. You enjoyed it as much when you were away?
Yeah, I think I was always a man. I don't know. John was trying to keep me. He was like, no, but I thought, I don't know. I just fancied a change. I knew if I never did it then, I probably wouldn't go. It. So mm-hmm. 29, and I thought, nah. And as I was a big part of me, I thought, oh, like, you could stay and stay at Cove and keep trying to be successful. But then I thought, nah, just it's more of life. And I knew I could play football over there as well. So I took a plunge and went for it. After that year traveling when I was younger, I just loved it. So, but I was fortunate enough. It worked really well. Australia was brilliant. It was an unbelievable life change. And the football was brilliant over there. It was a really good standard. And stumbled into a few really lucky good things there as well, and played 3 years in Perth and then 3 years in Sydney, and it was all really, really good, really enjoyable. And I think ended up, it was 6.5 years I was in Australia, then got my visa. I've got my Australian passport, my citizenship and all that now. But I came home, just decided 2014, thought, it's all right. You miss your family, you miss your mates. And as much as I loved Oz, there was just a part of me thought, oh, I'll go home and see what I like, and I could still play maybe. I think at that point, I can't remember if the age I was, 35 or something, so I thought, I'll go back and I'll see what I like, and I just maybe settled down. I wasn't sure if I'd come back, but no, it was me. I came back, and I've never been back to Australia since, which is, I was many a day, and it comes into my head, and I'm like, maybe I should just get an up plane.
Is it citizenship? Is that for life, like, you can come and go? Yeah, news?
I have got a passport, so... Aye. That's me. And weirdly, like I said earlier, my mate Gav, he was playing back here, and then so me and him have always, like, I never got to see him because I was in Australia, and he was always down the road with football. Then he came back up the road as I moved to Australia. I think he signed for the Aberdeen, and then the summer I came home, he moved out, and literally 10 minutes down the road from where I stayed, and he's never. Because his wife's from, she's from like beside Bondi, Maroubra, that's where she's from, and I was not far from her, just like I said, 10 minutes along the road, that's where I stayed for 3 years, and then I was home a month, seen him, and he's been over, and then he's never been back, so been strange how that developed, and we just missed each other.
I've got a few folk that moved to Australia, and nae many come back for there. Most people stay once they're there, like...
Yeah, I think of it, like I say, if probably it's one of them. For me, because I moved on from Perth and Sydney, my sister was over there, and then she ended up moving on, and because of that, I had a crack, and like, she had this absolutely amazing pad, and it was the views of Sydney, it was just brilliant, and then she was moving in with her partner, so it was like, right, either downsize here into a flat, and then crack on, and it's going to cost me a lot more money, or I just go back. So this has been too good, I'm just going to head back home. And so that was the end of those days. But there was quite a few boys come out, and then since I've came home, I've sent I've passed on a few names. Daryl Nicol was the last one I put out there. He's done really well, and he was from McCove, and he's got a great life out there, and he went in 2 years in a row, got player of the year out there, so he's done really well. So I've managed to get a few boys when they went out, sort them out with football teams, so it's been good.
Quality. Yep, you got your agent fee.
I've got a mate, it was weird when I first rocked up this team, I didn't know anybody, like, we'll put you in a reserves. I was like, reserves? And then this boy, they were an English based team in Perth, and his name was Tuffy, and I walked in, he goes, this is the manager, he's like, alright, I'm David. I was like, oh, I'm Jamie. He went, Jamie what? I was like, eh? I was like, what does this boy know me? He's like, I fucking know who you are. I was like, right. He goes, oh, he's in the reserves. Get him in the first team. I was like, oh, that's a good start. I goes, who are you? Like, and the Vale, we'd played Spartans, I think, 2 years earlier. We drew with him at Vale, and then we went down and played him and beat him at Spartans, and they were a top team back then in Edinburgh, and it was a brilliant win. And he was the centre-half marking me both the games.
Aye, football's a small world.
It sure is. So, and he's still a good mate to this day, Tuffy. He's a great lad, still doing well out there. And like I say, he's always on me. Any more players coming out, let me know. So, good quality, lads. Quality.
So back to Cove, and you finally ended up, was it four losing cup finals, and you won the Ireland League Cup in that last season?
Aye, that's right. Signed, John was still there. So I think John had left, went back, so then got me there. And yeah, I think we, that year, aye, we won the league. That was my last year, was it? It was, we won the league, and then we ended up going up to Grant Park, is it Clark, played Wick, I think. Was it? I'm sure it was at Wick. I think it was Wick, made the final. And yeah, we blew them away 4-0 on the day. And that was, I'd lost it four times, so it was like 20 years of trying. Nice. And finally got my hand, and that was the last medal. Just and they knew, like, they made it a big deal because they knew it was important. I had all these medals. I was like, I can't believe I've got the League Cup. So no, it was a brilliant way, and just so I wasn't sure it was going to be the end, but yeah, it was a great way to get my last medal in the Highland League and sign off with a good win. But I was saying as well, That same season, I was when we went up and we won the league. I was at Clark, funnily enough, as well that night, and a Wednesday night, and just won it. And like, everyone was speaking about like going up, but we'll come back, we'll get it. And then we came in, and that was the night John had found out he'd lost his old man. And that was just such a strange experience, because everyone was such a high in the pitch, and he got told as he came into the dressing room. So we were all celebrating the pitch, coming in. And then John's in tears in the corner, and that was a strange night. That was just such a high to a low, and it like puts life in perspective, that one. And you're just, Jesus. But no, with some good memories with John, that's for sure, down the years. And so, but no, that was a good way to end all with Cove. And then I think that was maybe the first year, if I remember. I think
it was, because that's when Edinburgh City went up, wasn't it?
Aye, so that was my last game, and I actually had booked a holiday, not realising about this playoff. So I was away to Turkey the first game, and I thought, well, we're like Edinburgh City, that league at the time wasn't as strong, and we were like, oh, we'll batter them. And then they came, I was in Turkey golfing, and they came up and blitzed us 3-0. That was when we never had a stadium, they played at Locos, because we were nomads for about 2 years at the stadium, and playing all over the shop. So we beat 3-0. I'm lying in a lounger listening to the game going, wouldn't be lost for so long, I couldn't believe we got battered. And then I came back and went down to, I think, Meadowbank Stadium, and that was my last game for Cove. But I was on a bench and we're 1-0 down, and I'm like, John, come on. He's like, shut up. I was in the bar. I was like, get him on. I even do more. My first touch I scored. I was like, yeah, get up, yeah. I'd be moaning at me going, it was a header, that one. I didn't score many of them. But so that was my last goal. I think I knew at that point I was leaving. You try to say anyway, but in the bus, you'll be signing. I was like, nah, I think I knew it was coming an end. Too many times I'd been subbed and that. I think because you're getting older, I think it was 38 at that point. So they probably thought, just coming to the end of career. But I still felt really fit. So I was like, I've still got life in me. I'm feeling like as fit as I ever have here. That's when I was looking after myself. And so enough to squeeze in our 2 years as well after that.
That's right. Obviously, Cove have made up for that disappointment, going strength to strength, and they're flying. It's a great club now.
They were always, they were still on that team. I think back in 2000 that this was going to happen, and when I first signed, and then when I went back, it was all these plans. But our club is always going to go places. They've got some brilliant people involved. I mean, for Keith Moorhouse, and then in the background, Duncan Little, etc. There's just some, they've kept their roots, you know. All the people so involved. I was up there, I can't remember which game it was, and a lot of guys that was involved when I was there are still in the background doing the doors and so much and help. Right. It's just brilliant to see some brilliant characters, and they've just been with the club right through, and it's no surprise. I called it when they were up. I thought they'll be chums. I said within 5-10 years I wouldn't be surprised, but I never thought they'd go as quick as they did. Brilliant the boys that were so there, you know what I mean? When they went out of Highland League, I mean, you had obviously Blair, Scully, Stuart McKenzie, Harry Milne, and then they were all part of it. And then Megson and Marson Nutt came in a bit later. But all these boys, Highland League, and it just shows sometimes, like, yeah. It probably gets over Highland League, and it just shows that there is a lot of really good players that could definitely go higher and step up. But COVID has just been remarkable. And then I seen Scully, I didn't even see his goals that night. I was like,
I've seen that on Facebook.
What's going on? He's got two on Saturday, then he goes and scores that two worldies. You didn't get two of them in your career, never mind in 5 minutes. I was like, that's a disgrace, Scully. Class. So obviously on fire, but it's been brilliant to see these boys do really well and get a crack at it, you know, and COVID have stopped by them, which doesn't surprise me. It's obviously changing a little bit now, and McIntyre seems to be bringing in a lot of loanees, and so whether or not it'll change, but hopefully not. Hopefully they can keep it as local as they can and stay where they are, because I don't know how far they can go. Whether they can go to the next level it's just a huge step up there, but I think already they've massively overachieved, so fair play to them.
I think maybe consolidation in the championship for a couple of years is success, maybe.
Yeah. They've got themselves. I think full time's the next thing for them. Mm-hmm. If they do want to go anywhere, they would need to go full time. And there's been talk of it, I think, but I think I'd say their struggle just to attract players, because in that level, they want to be full time. So I think that's their biggest problem. But no, those boys they've done really well.
Obviously, that was the end of your Highland League career. You must have seen massive changes in it, because that was nearly 2 decades of involvement in Highland League on and off as a player. You must have seen a big difference in terms of standards and the characters that were on the go.
Yeah, totally. I mean, from the very, like I say, that naked buses and the big characters you'd back in the day, and even the football was played, it was a lot more aggressive back in the early days.
Imagine this, the story of the papers, Banks of the naked bus nowadays.
It's just a different world. Social media has just changed everything. And these boys, you get bigger laughs now with boys being on Tinder and getting themselves and anything else. I'd say all these young lads, they crack them up the way they go about their business nowadays. But it's just a different world. It's like you say, it's in decades. It's unbelievable how much it's changed. I'm glad I got to be part of the first part of it, because it really does. I just thought it was brilliant days. Even the respects, I looked up to all those boys and had so much respect for the older boys, and they would tell me, I would just listen to everything and take it all in. Now you speak to them, they just don't care. They walk away and bibs just get throwing water balls, and you're like, and it's just crazy. Like Greg was so ready, he was army
up against the wall.
Aye. You were just but it was just drilled in you, and that's professionalism. Well, that's how you looked at it back then, and the young boys were happy to do it, but nowadays it's just a different world. And as a social media, it's be getting their picture up, and I think scoring a goal and getting their name in the limelight. And then the buses, I mean, I'm lucky, I've got Bunks of D. They're a good bunch. I definitely noticed it in the last 2 years at Cove when I went back. That was a massive shock for me. The boys were coming back reading on the buses and they drinking. And I was lucky if I was 4 or 5 boys having a drink. And boys were just wanting to sleep, or no, I've got the gym tomorrow. And you're like, I was just, it was like, blown at times, and it just wasn't the same. But no, my Banks and A boys, they're a good bunch. They do go out quite a lot together. There's quite a few young lads in there, so they give them credit. They like a night out. But no, nothing like I think we've had 1 or 2 a season so far. That would have been into 15-16 by now. Would have been just a week. An excuse. Used to phone, and the missus would say, where are you? Because we used to always go back. Greg would drive in a bus, if it was a castle or wherever it was, and it'd be like, I think it'd be about 7:30, 7, I'd be sitting in the northern bar down at Great Northern Road, and where are you? Oh, Greg's a nightmare, we're still in a castle. I'm just down the road, and dearie me, he'd come up 9 o'clock, blame Greg. Oh, he's a misses would be raging with him, so he got to blame a lot. Oh, Mr. Carroll.
So when you went to the juniors as a player, you didn't slow down on the goals or the titles. I think you got two titles a player and three in a row when you teamed over as gaffer.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think the first year I signed, they just won the year. They just won the league for the first time, and they were starting to. Brian, when it went in there, he's made a lot of changes. So, the chairman there, and they've done it the right way. They've structured it. They've did a pitch and everything, and then the team slowly they built it up. Because they don't really spend a lot of money bunks a day, but they've just did it the right way. Mm-hmm. And then I went in there, I was impressed, and yeah, just so happened at time. It's, they've got a lot of young talent that came in from the Albion Boys clubs who are still there now. There's about 6-7 of them still playing, and that's what I was saying. I went into that Hein League this year with 10 that hadn't played, but they're all players that have been getting chased by Hein League for a few seasons now, because there were a lot of quality came out of that age groups at a time. So I was just lucky to be part of that and an experienced guy. And it just so happened my body held up for a good 2 years. I was never getting injured, and I felt as fit as ever. So two cracking seasons, got over 50 goals both seasons, and we won at two titles and Scottish Cup runs. And
I think you probably scored 25 of them against me when I was playing in goals for a different side. I helped my breather out a few times, because funnily enough, whenever we played Banks of DOA, there was an awful lot of boys I was that were working. So I was drafted in, Jesus, bend the door, pick the ball out in it.
It would have been a combined total of 10 yards for the goals.
But Banks of DOA were unplayable at times getting there in that last few years in the juniors. It was definitely time to go and test themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I was quite aware of that when I went in there. I said I was looking at getting my coach, and I took a 20s team, and then by the time I took over, which is my fourth year now, or fifth, coach, it was confusing me, missing a season, but I'd spoke to the chairman, and it was obvious it was the way we wanted to go, but they'd been asked then, for him, he knew the pyramid. He always said to me, look, we want to go, but we want to do it through the pyramid. He said, ready, we want to get a new pitch in, because we only got in last year, right. So the pitch was not up to standard and the lighting and stuff. So they spent over 200,000 last year on the pitch and the lights, and I was the final part getting that ready. And it just, like I say, it happened to be the first year we could do the pyramid. And he'd always said that was if that right. came that we do. He didn't want to just, because we got offered him when COVID went up, but we got 7 days to give him a reply. Mm. COVID went up, and we got Hein League said, do you want to come in and take Cove place? And we went, well, no, we kind of just turn ourselves from a junior into a Highland League in 7 days.
Because right, that was like your rumours that went about the league, the Banks of D were content to sit in the juniors and win everything every year, but it's obviously been dispelled now.
No, that's right. It was never the case. It was always he wanted to do the right way, and we've done that, and he's kept, like I say, we've managed to keep most of that lads together, and we've taken a bit of experience. But no, it's been brilliant this season so far. The boys have, with a little bit of a slow start, but the boys are taking to brilliantly, and we're doing all right now.
Unbeaten at home as well, I think.
Yeah, it's always going to be that. Only team in 18 teams, and only one with the pitch. It for me, it's an unbelievable surface. That new surface, it's brilliant to play on. I think any manager that comes will tell you the old one was murder.
I hated diving about on that.
Fast. It was an advantage because teams just hated playing on it. But I think nowadays most teams train on it. So you think. It's not really that much advantage, but it clearly is because we know how to play in it, and at the moment it's showing. But we'll hear a test next week. We've got Fraserburgh on it next Friday. It'll be a good test to see if we can keep the unbeaten run going.
You're sitting in fourth, though. I think I looked at the table after last night's win over Vale, undefeated at home. Are realistic ambitions for you this season? Because there's only a few points separating the top five. I think Brechin drew with Huntley at Hame last night, so it's up for grabs.
It is. We are top. I mean, it's quite obvious. I think top six would be a big achievement as a first year. Mm. We went in there, and I mean, the top four have been well established as top four, and hey, it's a long season. Yeah, we're in the mix right now, but I know how long a season it is. There's 10, 11 games, and there's over 30 to play, so there's a lot of twists and turns. But hey, as long as you're up there, come sort of January, February, you want to just be part of it. You want your name to be mentioned in a title race. But for us, it's just ticking off the games at the moment and staying around that top six, and we'll see where it takes us. But there's no expectations on the boys. They're just enjoying it. It's a different, the CF last night against the Vale, for example. I mean, as you say, we're used to dominating the juniors, and last night was such a tough game for a Wednesday night, and then we've got to go and play Bucky away Saturday. So and then Fraserburgh on Tuesday. So it's just such a tough league to get results week in, week out. But the boys have stood up to it so far. One defeat away to Brora, we're poor up there. We didn't have much of a team out there, but we were poor. But so far it's going pretty well. So we're in a good place, and just keep it going.
Was management ice something that you thought you'd get into, or was it, could it come out the blue?
No, I think when I was in Australia, I got through a contact. He wanted me to move to Sydney. He was his name was Mark Robertson. He used to play. He's played for Oz back in the day. He was a relative of Garvin Reyes, and he said to me, "Look, come over. We want to get you involved." And he had a soccer camp thing, and he wanted me to take part of the team, play for his team that he had, and also manage the younger team. So that was my first. I was like, "Oh, I wouldn't mind. I always thought I'd like to go coaching." So that got me involved. And I think at that point I was maybe 32. I was still quite young, and I took the under-14s and then under-16s next year. So that got me going, and I really enjoyed it, loved it. I was like, this is, and I was coaching full-time football as well outside of that at schools and stuff with a job. It was called Mr. Soccer was the name of the business, so I was doing that then. So I really did get the bug for it there. I thought, I enjoy coaching, and this is something I realised quite quickly I wasn't probably designed for kids, because pretty too aggressive, and the Greg Carroll and John Sharon and me was coming.
the Burns were fear, Mr. Soccer.
The Scottish accent, when you, they used to laugh, because when I used to get angry, like, what did he just say? No idea. The Scottish would come out when you get angry. These are just looking at you. Oh, what's he saying? So, it was definitely from there. That was me. I was like, I want to stay involved. And it just, again, landed quite lucky with the Banks of D moving there. Right. The game of the Chinese gig, and lucky enough to win that league in my first year with them, and the development. And then took over. Sandy McNaughton was in with Tommy Forbes, and he was always saying he was ready to step away. A great lad, Sandy, and he'd already said, "I think you should step in." So it was just quite easy. They just accepted the offer, and I was like, "Yeah, let's go."
And how's co-management? Co-manager with Roy, isn't he?
Well, no, not anymore. No. That's changed. Dynamic's changed. I went and used to, he had it as because me and Tommy, but no, he said this year he just said to Roy, "We'll go manager assistant." So he prefers to be in the not so much in the limelight. He hates the reporters, and I sent him out last night. I was like, "You're doing it tonight. I'm sick being annoyed." So
his experience must be valuable to you, though, no?
Oh, he's amazing. Right. He's such a good lad. There's nobody in the world of football doesn't say good things about Reuser. He's got some stories to tell in the dressing rooms and that. He cracks the boys up. There's been some brilliant, before big games he comes out, I think up at Wick, he started speaking about some battle back in 1860 and about his family. So you're like, where does he go with this? The boys are just listening. You see them all laughing, cracking up. He's brilliant, but when he speaks, he speaks a lot of sense. He's got so much experience, and I love listening to him when he does get going. He's not one for saying a lot. He likes to just pick his moments. He had a good again last night after a game. He decided he's wanting to say to them about where we're at, and he's brilliant like that. He just picks his moments, and great lad to have around. And I knew he would after Tommy Forbes. He was he'd been there for so long. I knew I had to get it right. Whoever I took in with me, I thought I need to get something going with the boys, and because you can expect too much sometimes because we're going to Highland Leagues, but these boys being junior, and you've got to sort of work both sides of it. So no, he's been brilliant so far since he's come in.
Magic. I mean, we've spoke a little bit about the pyramids this man. I think it's a magic thing for Scottish football, and things are going to change a lot. But for our backs of these our club long term ambitions, are they looking to go beyond the Highland League, do you think, in time?
I think Brian went in. Yeah, I think he would like to. Whether or not, I think he would, from what I get, he would like to go one more level. It's where he, there's only so much growth Banks that he could do. You know what I mean? They can never they can never go and do a Cove thing. I mean, with the facility they've got and the size of the stadium, it could never really grow unless they were to move. But I think he definitely wants to win that league. There's no doubt about it. It's just the chairman. I'm not saying he's put that on me. He's more than happy at the moment just to be in the mix and be in there. But he'll eventually probably he'll need to get a checkbook out, like, but he'd probably be looking to be competing within 2-3 years and being right at the top. But for me, I've just loved the journey so far. But the pyramid side, I think it's great. There was a lot of, I understand there's a lot of the historians and the Highlands are thinking what's getting taken away from the Highland, you know, for William going out. I've seen quite a bit and mentioned that it's never coming to Highland League. It's gonna end up being like more Aberdeenshire, and it's the last thing you want. But these clubs, I think it's an opportunity, and there's only so much leagues, you know, and we haven't got a lot up this way. So I think it's great. I mean, Brechin are in there now, and I think it's great that they're in there doing well. They're a big name, a big big club, and they're there for all of us to go and have a go at, you know what I mean? It's, and then teams like Fort, as unfortunate as it is, they went, they knew, I mean, it puts pressure on these clubs now at the bottom to hopefully to make a bit more of an effort to stay in the league, and because you get that chance, even if you finish bottom, you still get the playoff, you can still stay in it. So I think it's pressure. That's why we play the game. Right. And I think if you get comfortable knowing you can't get relegated, it can just. I think you've seen that, like East Stirling. You look at them
bottom for years.
For years, and they're now at the bottom, the Lowland, and other clubs are showing ambition. So I think you've got to give everybody their opportunity. So for me, it's definitely a good thing, the pyramids. And you don't want to see too many high league teams. Hopefully it won't happen in Hereford William. Hopefully they'll now rebuild and get a crack at coming back up, and then, you know what I mean, then they'll get the success that way. Right. But for too long they've been getting a lot of big defeats, and the pitch has been a bit of a, it's obviously been a
joke. Getting a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just so, I think a lot of people would look at it and say, well, it's a good thing, but like I say, the old Highland League guys, not so much. another argument.
I meant to ask you earlier, but Farders last season, obviously still a junior club, but winning the Shield in the Cup, the Aberdeenshire, how does that rank in your achievements? Because that was a big one.
Massive. I'd probably... my best achievement, because I think to take a junior team and go, and I mean, obviously no junior teams won it, well, don't get me wrong, your classes were not really a junior team, but to go and we've lost three finals in the last like 4 years, and every year I've been getting closer and you could feel it, but to actually get it done and then to win them both, I just thought it was it was mental. I mean, we went fourth round the Scottish Cup, won everything domestically, then the two finals, it was just like, I even said that at the end of the year award, I said, stand here next year, I might need be one trophy there. I said, but what we've achieved as a team is just, it's almost, because they're used to winning, I think they think, well, it's just normal. But it's like, it's not normal. Like, it's, you probably will never win us two trophies. You might never win any of them again. In the same season, but it's hard, like I say, because they're so used to winning, it's hard to for them to comprehend what a big achievement it was. But it wasn't a loss to me. It was huge, and such a good season, and I was so proud of them. What we all done together, it was brilliant.
Quality. How about you personally? What have you still got to achieve in the game? How much further would you like to go in management?
Oh, I think I'm pretty happy. Highland League was always an ambition of mine, so I'm there now, and I've never looked any further than that. I think for my life, Highland League suits it fine. Yeah. I've got my own business, so no, I think I'll just keep ticking away. Hopefully I can stay in the High League for a good few years. It's something I love doing, and I've never lost that love. I love a Saturday even. Right. Yeah. You never replace it. Obviously, as a player, it's the best times, and scoring goals, the best feeling. But I think it's the next best thing. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. Jesus, it's a lot.
You obviously love your fit, by the way. Yeah, you can tell the passion's coming through us just speaking about you, are the old days. And that hour and 10 minutes has flown in.
Yeah, no, it is. It's such a big part of my life. It always is. I think the missus, I was moaning at miss, like, football, bloody football.
They didn't understand.
It's on a TV. Really? Really? I was between Rangers and Liverpool, lagging up to watch Cove Dundee on Tuesday. So. Take your choice. But no, I think it's been brilliant for me. It's something I've just always loved, and I still get a buzz on a Saturday going in with the boys in the dressing room, and that's nothing better than getting a win and a 3 points on a Saturday.
Magic. Well, again, I realise I've taken up more than your time than I said, but if we could take a quick run through your best of living you prepared for, Matt, would be grand.
Aye, am I telling you?
You tell me who you've got in there. I've got them in front of me in case you've forgotten.
No. I was just, I wasn't sure if you were going to ask me about them, but no, I had, number one was Barry Thompson. Yeah, old Tomo back in the day. I think he would kill me if I didn't put him in goals, but no, he was very reliable back in that day.
He's a few picks, I think, that said they'd never seen a goalie so professional.
I took him with me. He ended up being my goalkeeping coach at Banks of Dee. He's probably too professional. It's his undoing, but great lad, Baz. Two, Blair Yeo. Cracking player. One of the best I played with Blairy. Dibby, number three. And the old stalwart, I think, you know how long he played in that left back role for Avail, but many a year.
Unbelievable service.
Just brilliant. And then Eric Watson, number four. And I put Chisholm in, number five.
Fair combo.
I think Chisholm, my days, he played me as a midfielder, right. But he could play it back. He was brilliant at back as well. Yeah, some partnership those two would make. And then I put Tommy Wilson in, number six. Just, I played Tommy right through my career, and I'd never seen a boy make a game look so easy getting on the ball. And also the dirty side, he can mix it up. So he was a right moan, but a great lad. So, and then I've got seven, Ian Murray, Mobs.
Are you playing Moby?
I'm putting him in the right.
Oh, you love that.
Back in the day, he played in the right or in the left when he first. So he still scored plenty for there. So I've got Moby in the right in the seven, and then in the middle I've got Tommy. I've got Paul Coutts, number eight. Like I say, he's just one of the best I've ever seen. Even at a young age, he just oozed class, and I'm not surprised he's went on. I thought he'd probably go bigger and further than he did, but he was some player. Carried that team at that first team when we won the league that year. He was 7-year-old, and he carried this to the title. Right. It was ridiculous that a 7-year-old kid could do that, but what a player he was. And then I've got nine, Martin Johnston. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he would have picked him. He was a great player. Again, I played with Martin from, I think, 9-year-old. We met at Lads Club. We played through and under 11, the two of us didn't get a game because we were too small, I think.
He's been on. He did tell me about that, I think. Hard to believe.
He was some player, MJ. And then 10, Magic Mike McKenzie. He was for 3-4 years. I love playing up front with Mikey.
I think Mike's the best picked person I've had for these best 11s.
I think for me personally, I had 4 years with Mike up front, and he just, as a partner in a 4-4-2, he just, everywhere I went, I knew he would get a ball, hold boys off, and he would just, over the corner, just run into space, and he would just put it right in. And 11, he somehow sneaked in, is Paul Lockhart, Yogi. Probably an underrated boy, but still a good pop. Yogi was some player. He played it in the left and in the middle and gave everything for a shirt. And he was really cracking boy on the ball. He was a good player. But I played with so many wingers, so many good wingers. It's unbelievable to pick two. Even that's why I've got Yogi and Moby. Aren't they really wingers? But so many wingers. But like I say, it's picking two. So I just went with those boys. But no, I think that's a fair 11
lineup. But would you get many games in that 11?
I think I would. I'd probably Ben McKenzie. He's not mobile enough, so even to get my team, so I could work hard on him.
Fun skipper outside. A few captains in there.
Oh, I know. I think it would be a shout between Eric and Tommy Wilson. I think that two would be claiming armband. I think Eric was. I think Eric just he was. he was a proper, like, he acted well with the boys. He was a proper leader, and then he was so dirty in the pitch at times. It was brilliant. You would hate to play against Eric. What a boy.
But, is he still managing Montrose?
Yeah, he's still there. Doing really well. So he's then I got a lot of money there, but he's done well. He's done well in years. I still hear a lot for these boys, like my shout, and it's good to catch up from time to time.
Magic. If I'd you install as gaffer for this team,
I think I would need to be Sheeran, definitely. Mr. Sheeran, he'd be able to do work wonders with that team. So.
And if you draw well, you need to get good man management with our egos, I would say.
I'd be a fair dress to him, so no, he would manage, believe me, when the John Sheeran at.
For you think if that team were on their prime and you dropped them into the day's football, how far could they go?
That's a good, easy, like I say, you look at a Cove team and that's went as far as they have, and I think a team would easily go the same sort of route as that, because, I mean, even like Blair is still playing, he's still, he's class there and could see, but that team in its prime I would love to see how far it would go.
magic. Yeah. Right, well, I just finish up with a few quick fire questions, if that's fine, just the first thing that comes into your head. So one thing you would change about football to improve it?
First thing comes to your head. That's a good question. To improve it, well, I'd make referees better.
Who would you like to play you if they made a movie of your life?
Movie, I'll go for... What am I picking here? Tom Hanks, because he seems to be a brilliant actor, so he could.
Alright.
Irish accent, need it.
Another club you wish you could have played for?
I would talk in any level.
Any level, aye.
Oh, I think it would need to be probably Rangers, I would say.
In the 90s,
that team, but they were unbelievable. So I'd probably go with that, Rangers playing up front with Coisty. That would be a wee there.
Toughest direct opponent you ever came up against on the pitch?
Them and bloody training, that's for sure. Honestly, bloody Kenny Gilbert, he was one of the toughest, smashed by the time. I'd say opposition wise, back in the day, if I was a nightmare at all, I used to hate playing against him, was Chris Nidre. He used used to hunt me. I think he had a thing, smash me every time I played against him. I was like, oh no, I'm going to get smashed. So I never liked playing against him.
Okay, if you could bottle just one moment of your career to relive.
I'm going back to that. He's Scotty. I was another one that used to smash me. I forgot about him here. He was a nightmare. He used to hunt me as well, Mr. Fraser. So that's another one I hated. They used to come for me.
Marked man. If you could bottle just one moment of your career to relive, what would it be?
If I could change outcome, it would have been that night at Fraserburgh. I could have won a league. For me, personally, I guess it probably was that first night with the Vale winning a league title at Cove, because it was the first I'd been at it for so long, I think. So that's probably one of the best memories that night. I'll go with the first time league title. If not, the Aberdeenshire Cup one, because that was an amazing night. So one of them two.
Magic. Right, and then I was the last question. Which pro player, past or present, do you think was most like your style, attributes and personality on the pitch?
I'd probably say McCoist. go back to all age. Just the way he was, honestly. Just watching him all that days, and I was probably ingrained in me.
Magic. Well, that's us coming to an end, Jimmy. Thank you very much for coming on, and the best for the rest of the season. It's been cracking.
I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me on, and it's been good to talk, mate. So you take it easy.
Huge thanks to Jamie for giving up one of his spare evenings to come on the podcast and take us through his career. I certainly found it fascinating, and his love for football and the Highland League in general really shone through there. a man who loves scoring goals no matter how far out he was. Thank you once again to you all for downloading and listening. It's been great to see the reaction to the new series and that we're still adding listeners despite being out of action for a long time. So thanks again. Please do get in touch with me if you have any questions, guest suggestions or feedback for the show. I'm very responsive to all of the above. You can find the contact info and info on upcoming guests and competitions on our Facebook, Twitter and Instagram pages. Just search for Beyond Canal Park Podcast. If this is your first listen to one of the podcasts, then there's extensive back catalogue now, as well as Highland League and Junior Legends. I've also interviewed professionals and internationalists over the last few years, so you can listen back to all of these. And the Hampden Park, Beyond Hampden Park Scotland National Team specials on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, or basically anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Again, you just search for Beyond Canal Park and we'll pop up. Right, that's your lot for this week. Bye for now.